today. So every day we start fresh because we can't affect the past, but we damn sure can make a difference today.
Welcome to episode 106 of Shop Talk. It's Carrie.
And Jennifer.
And listen, guys, we are still trying to process what happened on last night's episode of The Rookie. There was a lot. Shootouts, violence, secrets, lies, murder. It all happened in 608. But you know, we're gonna break it down in a minute. Hopefully we don't actually break down ourselves. You know, but first, as always, we have a little bit of news to start off with, and then we'll just jump in.
Yeah, so The Rookie 610, I guess, episode description came out. It's airing on May 21st, but like as we found out last night that 609 and 610 are like a two-part season finale. So I'm wondering if this is the 609 episode description too. We shall see, because also where does that leave us with promo photos? But for 610, it's titled Escape Plan, and it says Sergeant Gray helps the team prepare for their biggest mission yet. Meanwhile, Aaron, Lopez, Selena, Tim, and Smitty discover a surprising connection in their case. Okay. I don't really know where to go from that.
I don't either.
Yeah, because the promo that we saw last night is definitely for 609. So, like, I would assume that the stuff in that promo has something to do with 610, but who really knows? So, I guess we'll see. But I mean, we're going straight through now until the 21st. So that's cool. No more breaks for us until after the 21st. Yeah. Do you want to take us through the next bit of news?
Yeah. So Melissa was announced to attend Dream It's First Responder Convention in Paris next month, apparently. So French the rookie fans, or really anyone that can, you know, have the means and opportunity to get to Paris.
European fans, US fans, listen, I wish I could go. That would be cool.
Same. Yeah. So she will be in Paris next month for that convention. And you know, it's just cool to see the cast getting announced for conventions. So if anyone does go, share your happiness with,
yes,
you know,
please,
the rest of us.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah.
And also, please share any and all stories, interactions, everything. We need it, please.
I mean, we, you know, obviously. Yeah. Just, I mean, we would appreciate it, because we're going to, both of us are going to be stuck stateside. So
I will have FOMO. Even though I'm going to see Sean in September, I will have FOMO, because I mean, I just, I know Melissa's going to look amazing. So, and with that, I mean, we're still crossing our fingers that more of the rookie cast gets announced for Epic Con's First Responder Con in Chicago in September. So,
yeah, that would definitely be cool. So cross your fingers.
Yeah. At this point, like, I don't even really care who goes, just more people from the rookie, please. If I was able to have my choice, it would be Melissa and Lisette, because they're like my faves, but I mean, really any of them. So, yeah. But with that, we'll just jump right into the episode, because it is a long one. There was a lot that happened, like you said. I mean, even like the main two storylines had like a bunch of other little things in it. So,
well, yeah, a lot of not quite overlap, but just back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. But it was an action-packed episode for sure. So we'll start off with Monica's attack, because we open the episode with Wesley talking to Monica, and she wants him to get a deal approved for her client so that they don't have to do time. But Wesley's like, that's impossible. Have you seen the rap sheet? It's like a mile long, basically. Monica then hears glass breaking in her house. She tells Wesley she'll call him back. And he's like, call the cops. Like, don't go after them. And she's like, well, you call the cops then. And so she gets her gun out of the safe in her closet, goes down, and The intruder comes in from like behind her. She shoots him in one of his feet, like shoots him in the foot. And then they fall down the steps. He's still like holding on to her from behind. She asks if he broke in to rob the place or if someone sent him to kill her. He doesn't answer, so she takes the latter as the answer. And then she shoots him again in the other foot. So police are there. She kicks him in the face. And before they enter, well, really, she opens the door to find them. She pulls like her shirt open to make it look more like she's been attacked more. And she like knocks herself in the head with the gun, like so she's bleeding. And then she like passes out, which I don't know. I don't know if that's real or fake, because then the next time we see her, she's like being wheeled into the hospital and she's like, ow, you know where I'm hurt. Also, how does she look so flawless when all of this is happening? Like,
Yeah, like when she was fixed, like when she was like checking her reflection in the mirror
yeah.
before she did all that convoluted crap, like her hair was still, like pretty
It
much
still
the
looked
same. Her
perfect.
was fine. I mean, I guess it's, I mean, obviously in real life, I'm sure Bridget
Right.
was a stunt person, but still, like just the
Yeah. Well,
outfit.
and I'm sure there were like so many takes to everything that they had time to like keep her looking as she did. But yeah, it was just, I don't know, so funny. So then Nyla and Angela show up to the hospital because they're baddies and they're a great duo. And they're questioning Monica and the attacker. Nyla's gonna talk to Monica while Angela questions patrol and gets like the lowdown on the Monica stuff. So Nyla's not believing Monica because why should she? And Monica's like, I'll see you guys both in court if you're going to try to paint me as a bad guy. They think she's lying. And as they walk away, we see Monica look over at her attacker, which this blew my mind because I was like, they're literally right next to each other in the ER. Like, I get it. It's the ER. They're probably just going where they can, but wouldn't they try to like separate them a little bit? I mean,
But
he's
then,
obviously shot in both feet, so he's not
right.
gonna do much, but like, you never know.
But I mean, listen, considering all the rest of the people that come in later, it's like
True.
it just mass chaos
True. Yeah.
ensued.
Yeah. So, we go back, or like, after a bunch of different cuts, we find Monica. She's back. She's on the phone with someone who hasn't heard anything. And she asks if this person has shaken all the trusted trees. But she doesn't want people to know she's on the hunt. So she tells them just to stop, like, looking or whatever. Wesley, oh my gosh, stops by her hospital room. He asks her how she's feeling. He's like, yeah, I came all the way down here to check on you. And Angela then stops by. Monica doesn't fail to remind her that her and Wesley were once together. And she's like, the love of his life. And Angela doesn't take any shit. And she reminds Monica that she's the true love of Wesley's life. Love it. I love it. I love her sass, especially to Monica. It's my favorite thing. So Monica's not ready to finish their interview. In fact, she like gets back in bed and she's like, not going anywhere. But Wesley, I have some time, so we do have a plea deal to work out. And Wesley's like, no, I'm not gonna do that because you'll tell the judge that I took advantage of you. And so Angela's also like, I'm surprised you're not all over me about pressing charges against the guy who, like attacked you. It's setting off all the alarms in my brain. And so, well, go back to Wesley. I kind of like got all over the place with this outline, but she claims she wouldn't tell the judge that Wesley was taking advantage for her, and they're both not falling for any of her BS. So they walk away. We get a cute moment from them, and just it was one of the best. And I hope that season 7 gives us more of Lopez, and maybe with their kids too. That would be great if we could have that. So they wheel Monica's attacker out of the room later in the episode. Monica's watching. It's like when the like code yellow or whatever starts to happen. The patrol officer checks in on her. She asks about the ID on the attacker. The guy isn't talking, his prints aren't in the system, so they still have nothing. The patrol officer can says she can rest easy, like she'll be outside of his room, and when shift change happens, someone else will be out there. So during the shootout, Monica's peeking out of the window of her room because why not? And she then makes her way to the attacker's room. So she enters with gloves on. She's so like meticulous with everything because she has latex gloves on when she enters. She threatens to detonate his heart with an air bubble if he won't answer by like putting, I don't know, a needle in his IV or something, like blowing air into it.
It's like an air embolism, I think it's called, or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how. I must have seen it on a different show. But like, that's as soon as she grabbed the empty, I don't even know what it's called, like the syringe or
Yeah.
whatever with the needle, I was like, oh, yep, nope, that's exactly what she's gonna do, is like put air, because you can kill
Yeah.
someone like that, which is
Yeah.
still blows my mind. But I was like, that's scary that I anticipated that she was gonna do that.
I thought she was going to like put some bad like medicine or something in him. I didn't think it was going to be air, but I was like, okay. So he still refuses to answer. And she's like, okay, well, I'll meet you in hell or whatever. And so as he flatlines, we don't see it, but we do hear it, thank God, because I wouldn't be able to bear that. We see Monica and Blair see each other, like as Monica's leaving the room, Monica and Blair see each other. And then we cut to a commercial, which, what a cliffhanger. I was on the edge of my seat and I was like, all right, let's get these ads done. Like, come on. So we come back from commercial. Monica pulls Blair out of like plain sight, I guess. Blair reminds her that no one was supposed to get hurt. And then Blair asks her if she just killed that guy. Like, Blair is obviously so flustered. And Monica tells Blair she doesn't want her to answer that. So she tells Blair to get out of there. She'll call her when she's released. What are they doing, honestly? What are these two doing together?
Well, that's what I had like so many questions about. I was like, okay, Monica is a narcissistic, high-powered lawyer. Blair's a young, green
Do we even know if she's really a
psychiatrist.
therapist? I was just thinking about this. She could be posing as one. To
Oh,
like get
God.
in thick with the officers and
You'd
really
think that the
like,
LAPD would check on that.
yeah, but I'm sure she could fake her documents and I'm sure she had Monica's help and whoever else's help with that.
Oh Lord, I didn't even think of that. But I just like it just doesn't it still is not adding up for me. Like what those well, one, what those two have in common. Two, why they'd want to work together. Three, what their end goal is, and just four, like I said, lawyer, supposed psychiatrist, psychologist, I don't know,
Yeah.
whatever. Like what, wait, why? Like why those two people in these professions, and then this somehow has to do with the police force in general, maybe, or
Yeah.
just specifically the one operation. I don't know. Like I don't I just don't I don't know.
Right. And why, like, target Aaron and Tim, and why not like Angela, because Monica has like a thing with Angela. I don't know. It's so then maybe Blair really is a psychiatrist or a psychologist because she was assigned to work with Tim and Aaron and then assigned to work with Tim's buddy. So maybe. I mean, I don't think she would just like pick those guys randomly. I don't know. But then, like, you'll get into it because there's some weird elevator stuff going on. And it was just all kinds of weird. And I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like Blair anymore, though. Because I'm like, what are you up to? What
I
are you
know.
up to? And
Like, I
why are
just,
you like here? I don't know.
yeah. I just don't know if, like, Monica's, pulling her strings, so to speak, and she's like kind of
Yeah.
the mastermind behind all of it, and Blair is just like thought it was one thing, it turned into something else, or if she really is as devious as they're making her appear, I really don't know.
Yeah.
I'm so very
And I feel
confused.
like next week we'll really dive into that based on the promo. So, yeah. But anyway, finishing up with the Monica stuff, Selena and Lucy go back to relieve the other patrol officer. How there were only three patrol officers like watching these two guys is kind of beyond me because they were some pretty big, important people to watch. But Selena and Lucy go back to relieve the other patrol officer. When the officer goes back to the attacker, she finds him coding and just like calls for help. Harpez comes in. Yes, I'm using that ship name for them now, that friendship name. It is gonna become a hashtag on Twitter because I use it. So yeah.
Love it.
And they come in to find out what's going on. They rush to Monica's room because they know she's gotta be doing something. And they find her in the corner of the room, freaking out. She swears she's been there the entire time. They tell her about him coding, and they have a hard time believing it was just an accident. And then Monica reminds Angela of the threat she gave her earlier about making her the bad guy. And Nyla says if they find the slightest bit of evidence that proves she's lying, things are going to get real serious between them. Dun dun dun. Yeah, I don't know where we're going with all of this. I really don't. I really don't. So.
Yeah, I got goosebumps. So,
Yeah.
all the tension.
Yeah. Also, like, I know that we need this for drama, but can we have people stop, or can we stop having people come for our favorite officers? Like, it's Elijah, Rosalind, Oscar at one point. I don't know. Monica, apparently Blair. Like, no, I just want a happy-ish season. No people coming for them, please. But it's drama. We have to have it. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
but it does seem like singular, or I guess in this case, like dual forces, like are descending upon the LAPD, like lately, anyway. Whereas before it was like maybe one event would happen to one person, not as like a whole team. But yeah, anyway.
And then so we'll kind of dive into the mafia stuff. There, because the hospital was busy in this episode, they were busy. And so there's gang members fighting in the ER with police officers trying to hold them back. Luna goes into the ER, tells them that all that the patients have to be moved. She's cleared Monica's paperwork so she can go home, and Monica's not sure. She insists she needs to stay. And obviously we kind of see why. So Gray comes in and tells Luna that the Eastern Front and Russian mob threw down in a big way. The Eastern Front boss got shot in the chest, and they're not sure how it started, but there's 30 casualties inbound from both sides. And Luna's like, you couldn't send both gangs to different hospitals. And Grace asks back, and he's like, I left my sorting hat at the station. So no. And she like gives him a look, and I don't know, everything was just great between them. So additional units are coming to assist. He tells her that if the boss man dies, all hell will break loose, which he called for additional units. And then at one point, Angela and Nyla said that they had to call Gray for backup. But I feel like we didn't see much backup. Like it was still John, who's off duty, by the way, Luna, John, Lucy, Selena, and like Harpez. Like there wasn't really any additional units. I mean, you had
Although we did have
Smitty in one
Smitty.
minute.
Yeah, at one point, I was just gonna say.
Who ended up just getting himself hurt. Like, oh my gosh. We truly don't see enough of him.
Well,
I need more.
yeah.
But then I'm also nervous when he comes on because I'm like, what kind of trouble are you gonna get into?
Yeah. Can I just say though, that was the scene that my television like started on. Was literally just like, I was like, who's being thrown over a chair right now? Like, I was so confused. Like, I didn't even see the hit that sent Smitty over the chair. I literally just saw a police officer go flying over a chair. And I was like, so beyond confused.
Things were out of context for you
Yeah, no,
when
it
it
really
was
was.
playing live. So Selena and Lucy bring in someone from the Russian mob, and as they walk away, Lucy gives Selena a tip on the cuffs and using the hold. And so Smitty comes in, and he's like, "I don't know if he's a gang member or a citizen. I don't speak Russian, but I'll put him here." Turns out he's not supposed to be in the area where the Russian mob is, or the Eastern Front. Like he's no, it was the Russian mob because Lucy and Selena took him over there. And then Smitty gets elbowed in the face and is thrown over the chairs as a fight breaks out. Lucy helps him get up and asks him if he's okay. He's great, he sarcastically says. And he's like, "I just completed my wounded in the line of duty punch card." So
Yay,
that's
that's
where
the
the
title.
title of the episode came from. And he's like, "My pension will be firing on all cylinders now." And Lucy's like, "Great, I'm happy for you."
Yeah. He just wants to bank on all the
Yeah.
things that he can while he's still on
Yeah.
the job.
And like, of course he would have a wounded in line of duty punch
Right?
card. Like, of course he would. I mean, he's gotta have like seven of those already filled out. Like, why not? So Selena and John take out the guy who like started all of this. And then later on, Harpez tells John, Selena, and Lucy that they need to start collecting witness statements so they can make sense of everything. And Selena's like, "Well, aren't they all gonna lie?" And Lucy says, "Some of them will, but hopefully they'll get enough of the truth to figure out what happened." So Nyla comes up to Lopez after they walk out of Monica's room and tells them that the Eastern Front boss, our men, died on the operating table. So they have to get a hold of Gray and see if he can send more support. And maybe set up some metal detectors. So Lucy and Selena are still interviewing suspects. Lucy tells one that he's been very unhelpful, which mood. There was a lot of moments where people were mood in this episode. And so she asks Selena for more cards. And before she leaves Selena, she tells her to be careful with her gun on that side because there are suspects everywhere. So Lucy's like, "It'll become nature over time." And then they go over to this kid who's 18, but he very much looks like he's a 15-year-old. He's giving them a hard time. At first, Lucy's all nice. She quickly changes her demeanor, though, when he gives her lip. And Lucy's like, "You're closer to being a child than you are a man." And this kid's like, "I'm more of a man than you've ever had." Has he ever met Tim Bradford? Like, I need to know this question, please. Like, come on, dude, you got no. You are a little child. And so that's when Lucy's demeanor changes. Like, she has had enough, and rightfully so. So she like pulls him away somewhere where he's away from the other gang members because they're like laughing. And she's like, they're egging him on, whatever. So he won't tell them anything. Lucy tells Selena to go back out into the waiting room and see if anyone will give them the name of the kid who's spilling Eastern Front secrets. So he gets nervous and he doesn't believe that Selena will do that, but she's like, "Oh, try me, I will." And so he tells them his name. He's all in with this gang, whatever. He finds out that Armin's dead and he didn't see who pulled the trigger, but Lucy's like, "Yeah, that blood splatter says otherwise. It looks like you were right next to him." So he ends up telling them that it was the big Russian that knife shot. And so Harpez meets up with Selena and Lucy, which we need a friendship name for Selena and Lucy since they're going to be roomies now. I don't know what it would be, but we need it. So, oh, maybe Selucy? I don't know. It kind of sounds a little weird, but the ID seems legit and genuine. Harpez tells Lucy and Selena to stay there and they'll get more evidence. So they're across the room, or they're across the hall from Monica's attacker. And so they introduce themselves to the other patrol officer. And like later on, Balin tells or tails Armin's brother because they're like, "Why is he on the patient floor? Why is he on a patient floor when his brother's in the morgue? Like, this is weird." So he leads them to a bathroom. John's like, "I'm going in to tinkle," as he says.
I could not
And
take him seriously when he said that. I was like,
no.
okay, bye. Like, just leave now.
Well, and then I was kind of like, he's got to be getting himself into trouble, right? Because it's John Nolan.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, did he? He tells Bailey though to like go find Selena and Lucy for backup. And so he walks into the bathroom and there's guns clicking, and we see John has walked into Armin's brother and the other gunmen pointing their weapons at him. Great. Yeah, everything's going great. So then just as Bailey's walking up to Selena and Lucy to loop them in, we hear gunshots, and then we see John like tuck and rolling out of the bathroom or whatever. And a shootout ensues. Lucy pulls the other officer to watch their guy. Bailey helps a nurse who's been shot in the leg. And then Harpez enters the shootout in quite possibly the most iconic way ever. Like they literally just show up and they walk in. Like it was great. And they tell the gunmen to drop their weapons and turn themselves in. And then John like ends up commanding the scene. And I'm just like, shouldn't that be the detectives? But okay, whatever. But yeah, so in the end, Armin and his guys, two have already been hurt, another one and him have surrendered. So yeah. And then they cuff him and that's about it that we see. But yeah, it was kind of a crazy time in the Stevens Memorial, St. Stephen's Memorial Hospital. So yeah. But do you want to take us through Tim and Aaron on the Metro Ops mission?
Oh, sure. That was quite a time. That was quite a time.
It led to some really great Branson moments, so I
It
will
really
say.
did. Like, speaking of like quotable
Yeah.
lines, there were many
Yeah.
to be had in this. And yeah, so oh, I know what I was gonna say. You know when Brent posted on I don't know if you saw his Instagram post where he like hashtagged van life or whatever. I was like, that works for Bradson in the surveillance van.
Yeah.
Like the whole episode. That's pretty much where they were.
I was confused about the van life hashtag, but yeah, now that you said that, it does work for Branson.
I think just because he still lives out of that
Oh,
RV van type thing in the, well, supposedly still in the parking lot. I don't know. I mean, I think, pretty sure. But yeah, no, it totally worked for Tim and Aaron this entire episode. Yeah. So anyway, yes. So, well, for Tim anyway, we first see him just walking into work. And then he goes to take the elevator up, and he sees, well, he first sees Mad Dog, his one of his old Metro co-workers, and then he also sees Blair. Like, they're talking, or well, they appear to be talking on the elevator together, and Mad Dog quickly gets off and is like, "See you, Doc." And Tim asks Blair if everything is okay with him. And Blair's trying to be professional and says, you know, she can't discuss the patient. She shouldn't have even told him that Mad Dog was a patient of hers in the first place, which she does admit that. But she quickly kind of changes the subject and asks Tim if seeing a former coworker of his like upset him in any way. And Tim's basically saying, well, we're not in your office right now, so as in as implying that he's not going to say anything else. And then I don't know if it's just, I mean, I'm assuming it's because they were the only two in the elevator, but like, I don't normally like turn my entire body to face the other person I'm talking to.
Did you
And I
notice the
don't.
smirks too?
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. I like tried to ignore them, but I couldn't
Same.
help it. But like, I don't know if it's like a, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Because like Tim has had that smirk before, like when he's kind of either been flirted with or tried to flirt, you know, like with Nell, like way back when in season one, he like had that same smirk, and I didn't know if that was like a Tim character thing or if that was like how Eric plays it
Yeah.
or like what that was about. But
Yeah.
yeah, I definitely saw the it wasn't even a vibe. I refused to say it. Like I don't know what it was. I don't know if they were baiting us. I don't know if they're trying to
I
imply
think they're
something that
just
it's
baiting us. I
not.
don't think they're trying to like change direction, but I
Yeah.
wonder if it is just like a like Tim almost smirks to make it seem like he's friendly and like open and trusting of these people.
Yeah. Because like as
Yeah.
soon as he got off the elevator, you could see like he just kind of goes back into his normal mode. Of course, that also could be because like kind of before or well as he was getting onto the elevator, he saw his phone alert go off about Lucy's birthday being the next day. So that, you know, obviously threw him for a little bit of a loop.
Yeah.
And so once he gets off the elevator, he ends up going into Gray's office. And Gray is, well, I just love how Gray is basically still on Team Lucy at this point because he just, I mean, tells him to fix it. Like, whatever he did, just fix it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, all this dysfunction is going to kill the team dynamics. And like, Gray's not going to go down like that. Like, he doesn't want to be the leader that has, you know, the station with all the problems. And so he assigns Tim to work with his old Metro unit, and Tim kind of jumped the gun and, you know, said, oh yeah, you know, he's ready to lead this mission or this op. And Gray's basically like, yeah, no, you're not leading anything.
Yeah.
This is, you know, your basically surveillance on this clubhouse of the target named Barrio Rosa. I wish I could roll my R's. Everyone on that show can like roll their R's pretty
Yeah.
nicely, and I just can't. But he, Gray says for him to take Aaron along so he can brush up on his special ops knowledge as well. And so this is where we get Bradson in the van, and so begins their quotable moments, honestly. And so they're in the van, and Tim had kind of started to explain, I don't really know, like explain kind of why they're there and like what they're doing.
Yeah.
But they're in the van, right? And Aaron's like, so tell me why I have to be in the full uniform again. And essentially Tim is, you know, replies so that he'll be able to be identified as police if they did have to go
Yeah.
inside the building. Aaron, like 5 seconds later, got it. And I have to be the one to wear it because like he just, you know, asks these questions that he
Yeah.
obviously knows the answers to already. You know, but Tim doesn't answer that one and instead asks Aaron about their target. So Aaron explains that Barrio Rosa is Mexican mafia that deals Special K, which I'm assuming is ketamine. I don't know. If it's something
Yeah.
else, I don't know. And deals in meth as well. And they're at this warehouse because a CI told Metro that this is the base of their operations. And then we get, you know, Bradford basically schooling Thorson in the basics of surveillance note-taking, aka they have to write down everything that happens. I mean every single thing.
Yeah, like
Doesn't matter
even someone just
how.
walking by.
Right. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Doesn't matter how small or how seemingly insignificant it might
Yeah.
be. Literally everything, including Tim states their names and what time their surveillance began. And just as Tim has gone over that first thing, Aaron asks, you know, if he can ask a question, and Tim's just like, no. And like just again, Eric's delivery, it's one
Yeah.
word. I don't understand why it makes me laugh so much every single time, but it's just like he did with Nolan both
Yeah.
times, and it just absolutely killed me.
Just all of their interactions were great in
Yeah.
this.
Yeah. And so then we see a, mail truck pull up. The mail's delivered. Aaron notes that with the timestamps, of course. And then Tim also answers Aaron's non-question with a no, because he was going to ask him if it bugs him to see his old team basically do this op without him while he's doing the, like busy work. And Tim says his job is to do what is asked of him to the best of his ability without complaint. And I don't know, like the first time when I was watching this and he said that, I didn't know, like I didn't catch the without complaint part, because I was just like, dude, you literally just got kicked off of Metro for like not doing your job, you know? And so I was like, dang, okay. But then I caught the without complaint and I was like, yeah, okay, that's fair. And then Q Tim saying that Aaron should switch to a stronger deodorant, and I was like, oh, poor Aaron.
I was like, oh my gosh, Aaron just can't catch a break. I did have the same question though. Like, why is it just Aaron in the uniform? Like, why not Tim? But then I thought, well, maybe Tim will have to like go undercover, and like they both can't
Maybe.
be in uniform. I don't
Yeah, I
know.
don't know. I mean, it was a good opportunity to see plain clothes Tim.
Yeah. Oh,
Always
I'll
love
never
plain
turn
clothes
that
Tim.
down. Yeah.
Yeah, but I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
It
But can
was
I
just
also just
funny.
say though about the like I don't actually really know why the deodorant thing was like put in, but like I could notice that like I don't know if it was just the lack of like makeup or whatever, but like they actually looked like they were like had been sitting in a van for like hours on
Oh,
end,
yeah.
both of
Yeah.
them.
Like, true look to like he was really sweating. Like, just the way that they zoomed in. I mean, I'm sure that it was like makeup or whatever. Like,
Yeah, or
they,
like
like, you know.
intentionally done. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that was so, I don't know, crafty, clever. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, while Tim is then noting there's a homeless person pushing a cart past the warehouse, Aaron's, not noting that because he's busy checking checking his deodorant. So, priorities.
Yeah.
And so lots of cuts later, we come back to them. They are still surveying in the van, and Tim asks Aaron if he noted the cyclist, which he did. And his phone chimes again about Lucy's birthday. And Aaron asks him if he's going to get Lucy anything. But Tim basically is like, yeah, no, it's bad to buy a present for the girl you broke up with. And Aaron kind of mutters under his breath, or the girl you kissed at a wedding. Never mind. And I just, it took me a second, which is so unfortunate that it took me a second to remember something that happened, what, 6 episodes ago? That, like Selena was, and I forgot that he bought her the laptop computer or something, right? And so I like forgot that too, like that part of it too, more so than they kissed at the wedding or he kissed her at the wedding. But anyway, I just thought, oh my God, that was just so funny. Because Tim didn't even, I mean, he shot Aaron a look, but he didn't even like push the subject further. He could care less. And so Metro Dispatch texts Tim saying that they're needed back at the station and their relief detail is arriving to or arriving in 5 minutes. And as they're, I guess, waiting for that to happen, he asks Aaron if he bought Lucy a present. He did. I think he said a spa day at the Four Seasons.
And he
It
was like,
was
it wasn't my idea, it was Selena's. So I was like, who
right.
cares? It's still a great gift. And also, Aaron and Selena's besties, we need to see more of that.
Well, I was just gonna say, I was like, okay, so that means like Aaron and Selena are talking more, so it's like they might be sort of all good or at least somewhat normal again.
Can we see Aaron hanging out with Lucy and Selena at that apartment?
Yeah, that'd be so
Like, I
fun.
need it.
Right?
And then part of me is also like selfishly hoping that Selena kind of tells Lucy like a little bit about what was going on with Aaron and kind of gets her advice. But I feel like Selena might have already moved on from all that. So maybe
Possibly.
not.
Yeah.
But it would, because we haven't seen that yet, it would be nice to see just because, like, with everything that Tim and Lucy have went through, like, Lucy kind of has perspective on that too. Like, don't necessarily get involved with a coworker or do, but you know, make sure that it's for the right reasons. Well, technically, she has ex two experiences with that because John Nolan and Tim Bradford. So, but Tim was like her superior in a way. So, yeah. Anyway, continue.
And then the last little bit of that, well, of their van scenes anyway. Aaron wants to ask, I love how he said why y'all broke up. And I was like, is that just like a true thing or was that actually
Yeah.
how it was written? Tim, again, no. Just immediately, no. As in,
He's
no.
done. He's
Yeah,
done.
we're never talking, as in, shutting that down, never speaking of it again. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
He may as well have, given Aaron a death glare or something.
I just like want to know how like Eric can play Tim Bradford so seriously in moments like that, because from like watching his TikToks and stuff, and obviously when you're doing TikToks, like
Yeah.
you're gonna be like a little bit more upbeat, funny. I don't know, maybe. I need to know how he gets to be so serious like that and just like kind of pissed off looking all the time. Like, I don't know. It just, this is why we're not actors, right? But like
Right, yeah.
also, it's just so interesting to see like the shift in it.
Yeah. When like he especially like in this next scene I'll talk about, like he does that like mean or like gruff look so
Yeah.
well when he's like when Tim is mad. Eric does that really well. Yeah, I want to know how he does that too. Just like how Makia, like slips her voice like an octave lower or
Yeah.
whatever, for Nyla, which was also on display in this episode, which I enjoyed. Yeah, I don't know. They need like we need like acting masterclass or something. They got mom
Yes.
moments, they got other behind the scenes
Yeah.
things. Want like little acting tips or something thrown in
Yeah.
somewhere.
And I'm sure like it's similar to like when we have moments where we go from being funny to serious, whatever, and vice versa. But like for us in real daily life, it's just kind of normal. Like being like acting in that scene, you have to like switch. Like there's, I don't know, it's hard to explain. Like it's more of like a effort to do that, I guess, than just like, oh, you know, like someone's annoyed me. And so now I'm like going from funny to serious. I don't know. It's hard to explain, but like, you
No, I get
know,
what you mean,
it's
because it's
gotta be
like
a
a,
little bit different.
yeah, it's like you're in a different environment. You're like,
Yeah.
you're not actively being yourself. You're
Right.
portraying a different person for a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is where I'm just
Definitely.
like, tell me all of the acting secrets. I want to
Right?
know more.
Yeah.
I want to
Right.
know like how everything happens because it just it intrigues me. But yeah. Anyway, continue. Sorry, I'm just going off on
No, it's fine.
tangents.
No, I
Fine.
totally get it though, because I wonder the same things. And so we get to see Mad Dog again. He's the leader of this specific Metro team operation, and gives Aaron and Tim quote unquote burn after reading materials. AKA they will shred it after they memorize it. And I'm assuming it's the, I don't know, like blueprints and operation points to know for this specific mission that they're going on. And Tim kind of pulls Mad Dog aside and is like, hey, I had some questions about this. And Tim tells him that, Barrio Rosa comes strapped at all times, quote unquote, and Tim doesn't see certain things, like there's no secondary entry point, there's no chase car. Then I'm assuming he means like that he'd probably have if he drew up this plan. But Mad Dog doesn't have those in his. And yeah, Mad Dog's really not down with that. He pretty much tells Tim to just keep his mouth shut because no one wants to hear from someone who basically got kicked out of Metro. Like it's his operation, it's his team. Like, don't question him, don't cross him.
That had to hurt.
Right?
Like, can you imagine?
I was like, dang, dude, you just like laid the hammer down.
Like, I get it. It's not his operation or anything, but he is like helping with it. Like,
Yeah.
he is assigned to it. So he should be able to know some things, but,
Right.
and it has to be hard for him to like watch his people, like, or his
Yeah.
previous teammates, like, go in there and teammates was so not the right word, but whatever. We're going with it. To like go in and do that and Tim know that he should be there too. Like,
Yeah.
oh, has to be hard.
Yeah. Even though he claims to Aaron that it is not, I'm like, Tim, come on. Like,
Be for real right now.
yeah.
Like, be serious. He's putting on a front.
Yeah. At least a little.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's like, because he was, brought in. I mean, even Gray had said earlier, I don't actually know exactly what like the specific term was. It was some like acronym. I don't know, SPO, SOP, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like these plans or something that, Tim like knows these entry points and knows these specific things that would make him an asset, to be utilized
Yeah.
for this operation. So it's like, why are they not listening to him? But then at the same time, then it's like knowing what we know later in
Yeah.
hindsight is probably like Mad Dog didn't want to like be undermined to then that would further undermine like the overall plan that
Yeah.
was in process, I guess, or in progress. Yeah, so basically Tim doesn't say anything further and obviously looks pissed, but Eric does mad really, really well. And so Aaron and Tim are back in the van. The van really should have just been like credited as
A
like
guest star.
extra, yeah, or a guest star, I swear to God.
Yeah, it really should have been.
Yeah. And so they are basically making sure no one sneaks up on Metro as they go in. And they well, Tim, I guess, like has the I don't even know, like the radio in his hand and is, copying Metro's clear. And they watch as the team goes into the warehouse. An explosion occurs a few seconds later, which sends Tim and Aaron, rushing out of the van to help the wounded Metro team members. And we don't like see a lot of it. We just see them rushing out basically, as a few of the Metro team is like coming out and kind of falling down from their injuries. And so back at the hospital where they're all, taken to be treated, Tim said that, Barrio Rosa had to know the raid was coming and they left an IED behind. And apparently, when he and Aaron were pulling Mad Dog and Nash out, half of the ceiling fell down on them. So they're also banged up, but nothing too serious. And apparently, Nash is in bad shape. There was shrapnel in his head and body. Another member named Garcia, his leg got torn up. Mad Dog ended up being, as Tim puts, a pin cushion, but the injuries were superficial, so he got lucky. And so Tim kind of assumes that there has to be a mole, and him and Aaron both like ask to work the investigation into who that mole
Yeah.
might be. And Gray is, like, okay, yeah, he'll check with their lieutenant, but tells them to keep it on the down low pretty much. And then again, more cuts later, Tim visits Mad Dog's hospital room. He's empathetic for his situation, but Mad Dog's not buying it.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, saying that he thinks that he should have listened to him when he gave him notes. But Tim is really like, the question is, how did they know that they were coming? And then as he's saying that, he kind of, I guess, sees Blair out of the corner of his eye. And she's showing up, kind of stand lingering in the doorway, asking if Mad Dog's okay and if he needed anything from her. But he says pretty much like, no, you know, he's squared away, he doesn't need anyone, called for him or anything. And Tim is curious as to how she heard about the ambush, and Blair replies that it's all anyone can talk about, that and the gang war. And half of her patients canceled today because they got called into work, apparently. So she says, we don't actually really know what the case is.
Yeah, I could
But he's.
like, I don't know, I could kind of see it being like half of her patients had to cancel, right? Like if she's working for the LAPD, I mean, that makes sense. But I don't know if it's all that anyone can talk about and that she would hear about it. Like maybe, but I don't know. We obviously know she's there for different reasons, though. So like, how much do we believe, you know?
Like, where is that line?
Yeah.
And Tim noticed Mad Dog's change in demeanor. Kind of, I guess, I don't know, like during and then after Blair left. Tim says how she looked like the last person that Mad Dog wanted to see there. And you could see him look kind of visibly shaken by it. He's like glassy-eyed and whatnot. But Mad Dog brushes it off, saying he just didn't want to talk about his feelings right then. So Tim says that he'll check back after Nash's surgery. And speaking of Lucy's birthday, we got the cutest Jenford thing ever.
It hurt to watch, especially knowing that they are currently broken up.
I know, but it was still so cute. I couldn't even help
Yeah.
it. I was so like unbelievably happy.
Yeah.
So for Lucy's birthday, Tim got Kojo to deliver a birthday card to her apartment doorstep. And Kojo, I'm doing air quotes. People can't see this. I'm doing the air quotes though, okay? Kojo signed it with love, and the card read, Happy birthday, Lucy. And it had Kojo's paw print like inked on the card too, and Lucy's teary-eyed over it. Listen, we're all teary-eyed over it pretty much.
Literally, same.
And then, you see Kojo run back to Tim, who's also kind of, misty-eyed, assuming over not being able to like be there with Lucy on her birthday, because they
Yeah.
are broken up. But I love how he's just literally like down the hall, like not even outside, but just like literally
Yeah.
down the hall. So if she were to like step out of her doorway, she probably maybe could have,
Yeah.
guessed where Kojo was going.
Well, and she had to have known that he was there, right? Like, because Kojo just kind of walked off. He had the leash on. Like, obviously, the dog's just not gonna like tromps around town. So, like, she had to have known that Tim was there. But oh, it hurt. It hurt so good, but also like it was a sad hurt too.
Yeah, it was bittersweet. And it's after he gets, Kojo, all back together that he gets a text from Mad Dog saying that he wants to talk. And so Tim meets him on the hospital roof, I'm assuming, right? Like he
Yeah.
Mad Dog's still at the hospital. and this is where he tells him that the doctor said that Nash may be paralyzed. Tim tells him that, it may be a temporary thing, like they don't know exactly for sure. And then this is when Mad Dog said it wasn't supposed to go down like this. Tim asks him if he compromised the op. He said that well, quote, they were supposed to clear out before we got there. And then again, the phrase of no one was supposed to get hurt.
Yeah.
And Tim asks Mad Dog who he told, but he said that he can't. Well, he just says he can't,
Yeah.
because she knows all his secrets. And that's the last thing he said before he tipped himself over the roof and fell to his death on the ground below. And Tim's like
Yeah.
just running over to see it kind of all unfold with utter shock. And I was just like, I too was shocked because I don't know. I mean, I know we didn't see it,
Yeah.
thankfully, but we heard it. That's a little
Yeah.
bit triggering as like a
Yeah.
mental health,
Yeah.
possible subject. Which then also, can I just say though, like the, I don't really even know what the right word is. I don't know if like it, no, it's not ironic. I mean, it'd be a cruel sense of irony. But it's also kind of convoluted that like if Blair is involved in that, that like the person that Mad Dog would have confided in is also the person that made him or well, jump again. I don't really, he didn't really jump. He literally like
It's like he
run
like fell
upside down. Like,
back.
I don't know. It was, yeah. But anyway, he,
Like I did not even think he was gonna jump
No, I
because his
didn't.
back was to it. Like he just kind of seemed
Yeah.
like he was chilling there. I didn't think he would like jump or anything.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, so it's just the fact that like, psychiatrist, psychologist, might have been a catalyst in this, how this all ended. And it's like, I guess it just messed up. I don't know. Like, that's all I can say. Like, it just kind of, it, like, I didn't like that realization that I came to after that. And that being the final scene, too, I was like, not exactly happy about that. Although I was glad they had a little number that you could, reach out to if you are in crisis as well.
I
But
liked the
still, I was like,
disclaimer.
yeah, I was like, can we like maybe have that at the beginning or something? Because I feel like they did that at one other episode. Like they had mentioned that there was like, some talk of like those issues or other serious topics or something
Yeah, they needed
prior
like
to
a
the
trigger
episode
warning
ending. Just a
for
little
sure.
bit. I don't know. I mean, maybe, I mean, I don't know, because I don't know how like sensitive those are in terms of television. Like what the parameters are, but like I would have appreciated one. I can't speak for everyone. I would have appreciated one though, but
I feel
yeah.
like that's just kind of like it just needs to be a standard if it isn't already in TV because, or like a given, like we don't even need to ask for it at this point. Like it needs to be attached to it. Like, and I'm glad that the rookie did it. I feel like they're a little bit better about attaching those like messages at the end or whatever than like other shows, but I feel like it's necessary to have more than one of those warnings or, you know, like a trigger warning at the beginning or something too, just with the way that everything is nowadays too. So,
Oh, I think it was a season 5 premiere maybe that they did a trigger warning before because of the amount of like blood in the episode at the time. But
I was gonna
like,
say season 5, that was when we found out about Jackson, but no, that was season 4. So,
But yeah, just because like I was not expecting it to end how it did for that storyline. So I was just like, my face was the same expression that Tim wore while looking over the edge of the roof. Like I was just, whoa.
Well, and then like with the promo next week, it seems like Tim's gonna be the one that's like under the spotlight in it. And I'm like, he was there, but like, doesn't all signs point to like him not doing that? I guess not, but I don't know. It just kind of seems weird. But then I was thinking, I wonder if all of this kind of did Tim and Aaron work together last week? Like they rode together last week, right? Feel like they did. No, because I feel like maybe Aaron rode with Selena or rode with
No,
Lucy.
well, wait, no, because Lucy was with Gray,
Oh
remember?
yeah. No,
Then it had
so it
to have
was
been Tim and
Bradson
Aaron.
last week. I wonder if they're kind of setting it up to where Tim and Aaron like like Tim tells Aaron, dude, Blair is not someone that we should trust. And like they kind of figure out, like they put two and two together about like their conversations and meetings with her, and then like they kind of go after her together. I don't know. That's my DeLulu
Yeah.
thinking, but
It would be, because like Aaron started off the season,
right.
like in a fairly bad place. So then to see
Yeah.
him like, come into something and like just be full
Yeah.
force, like back on the job doing the thing, like to
Yeah.
get the bad guy would be
The bad guy who
good.
happens to be a psychiatrist.
Yeah, bad girl. I
Yeah.
just don't really like, so it
Yeah.
doesn't have the same ring to it. Like, I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, I don't know, because then like someone I saw tweeted last night that like maybe them finding like figuring out who Blair is will bring back Tim in a suit. Or like Eric in a suit, I
That'd
think. And because like the promo kind of led to that. Like, I wonder if
be nice.
Tim will go like undercover in a way to like take down Blair. Maybe that's their connection in the
Maybe.
case. That would be
Maybe.
wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who
I don't
knows?
know. But yeah. I don't, I mean,
Crazy.
like overall though, can I just say when I wanted Eric and Danielle and more scenes, that was not what I
No,
meant.
no. You did
That's really
not.
not what I meant
No.
at all. Yeah.
But I would also, I feel like this might come next week, but then I could also see them just never doing it. But like, I feel like we need to see Blair interacting with everyone else. Like, why is she just not interacting with the women at the station? Like, why is she only targeting the males? I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. And I have questions.
Yeah.
All
Same.
right, where is May 14th already? Because like I need to start this.
Yeah.
It'll come up quick, I'm sure. We'll get right into Bela now. There's not much, but like it was enough to kind of cover. And honestly, it wrapped up their storyline, I feel like. And I was saying this before we started recording. I kind of hope this is the end of Baylen for the season. Like, I hope 609 and 610 just give us the Blair and Monica stuff and like Chenford's reunion, and that's it. Like, I don't need it to be, oh, here's a sprinkle of Baylen and like let's set up season 7. Like, no, because hopefully we'll have the entire season 7 for that. Like, just let us focus on Chenford and the whole like case of it all. But
I mean, I was surprised the direction that Balin took in this episode. I will say that.
yeah, I'm still like I feel like I have whiplash from these two, like because they're always changing their mind and then they're always like doing other stuff. I'm like,
Yeah, they really
figure it out.
they were the literal definition of like back and forth, like
Yeah.
literally running from one end of the hospital to
Literally,
the other.
figuratively, everything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we see them checking in at the hospital to see a fertility doctor. Okay. Nyla walks out of the elevator. She gives them the update about like why she's there with Monica. So we then see Bailey filling out medical forms, and she's like, I feel like these pregnant women are just here to like make me jealous and like showing off. I'm like, okay, I don't, all right, whatever. So John's like, so you don't think that these women actually have appointments and that they're just hanging out in a waiting room? And I was like, thank you for basically saying she's crazy. Like, she was like, well, when you put it that way, yeah, I sound like nuts. I'm like, yeah, you're a little DeLulu right there. Like, please. And so he reminds her that they don't even know if there's even a problem. And she's like, I feel it in my bones, which never doubt a woman's intuition. So Luna pops by. I love how Luna just like always checks in on Baylen.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I did not think that we would see so much Luna this season. I don't know. I love it.
Love it.
So she pops in, wants to check in on Baylen. She vouches for the doctor. She's like, they're great, whatever. We see doctors rush into the waiting room out of like the maternity ward. And there's a code yellow. It's a call for the ER and all available medical personnel is needed. So Luna's like, I don't know what's going on, but I gotta go. Balin's like, yeah, we should probably go too. They might need us. I'm like, okay. I don't know. If I was sitting there, I would be like, Why are just two random people like running in there? I mean, I could see if John like had his uniform on, but
Yeah.
okay. I get it though that they're gonna go and help. Like, I feel like as a first responder, you can't not help. But so as soon as they leave though, the nurse comes out to get Baylen and they're just gone. She calls for them twice. She's like, Bailey Noon? Bailey Noon. It reminded me of Bueller. And like Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I say that as if I've seen like more than 30 minutes of the movie, but I know that reference. So
Oh, really?
yeah, I've
That's a good
never really
movie.
watched it.
That's a good movie.
Yeah, I know. I just like, I don't know. It's never interested
I
me,
didn't
but
even
I
think
should
of that
watch it.
reference, though. I didn't even think
Yeah.
of that until you just said it. And I was like, yeah, that fits.
I probably should watch the movie considering that I live like an hour outside of where it was shot. So yeah.
Oh, so cool.
So John finds Bailey in the waiting room. Like, after he takes care of the first thing that he left her side for, and he asks if she was able to reschedule, and she's like, yeah, they're gonna get us in within the next 30 minutes. Okay. So Bailey tells him if he wants to go back out there and help, he can't. Like, there's no reason that both of them sits there and wait. And he tells her he's not going to leave her, and she's like, "It's fine. Like, my anxiety's went down. The magazines are good. Like, I'm fine. I'll text you when it's time to go back and see the doctor." And so he goes, and like you can see the worry like wash over her face
Yeah, I
because
was gonna say,
like,
I was,
yeah,
yeah,
like
she didn't seem like
she,
she really wanted him to go.
yeah, like she obviously knows what's going on. So she still hasn't seen the fertility doctor. Okay, he. She rushed to his side when she heard he was in trouble because he's at this point been involved in that shootout in the waiting room and his ears are ringing. So she's likely missed the appointment. And then we cut to the same nurse calling Bailey's name yet again. And at this point, it's a comedy storyline because I'm
Oh, yeah.
like, how many more times are they going to do this? Like they're literally just they're
Hey, listen,
rescheduling all the time.
I thought they were gonna go like three for three. So
Yeah,
I
no,
was surprised that it was
same.
just the two.
Which again, I get it. Like they're first responders, their main job is gonna be to rush into action when they're needed. But like it's also a personal day and you're there for an appointment. I don't know. I don't know. So Baylen finally gets to their appointment with the doctor, and she's like, "It's been a crazy day. Like, I totally get it, whatever." So she's glad that they're getting a chance to talk, and she says, "There's an obstacle, but one that they can overcome." And John's like, "Is it something with me? Like, I know I had a kid before, but it was a long time ago." I'm like, "We don't need to be discussing your age again right now. Like, we don't. It's fine. Please move on." And so nothing's wrong with John, but there's some damage to Bailey's fallopian tubes, which is making it difficult. And the doctor's like, good news is, so we can get around it with IVF. The doctor then refers to her age and calls it a geriatric pregnancy, which no one likes to hear, but it's a term that they use. And she's like, it does pose risk factors, but I don't see a reason that in time you can't get pregnant. And so Bailey asks how much time, doctor details the IVF process and how it might not work on the first try. And she talks a little bit about the money and John's on board. He's like, whatever it takes, you know, we'll make sure that this happens. And Bailey's hesitant. You can see, I feel like Bailey's mood just totally switched about all of this when they were in the waiting room. Like even before they met with the doctor, it was kind of like she was second guessing even going through with this all to begin with. So then the doctor's like, why don't we schedule a follow-up meeting for next week so you guys can discuss it more? And Bailey just wants out of there. Like she literally drops John's hand and they like she gets up and walks out. I'm like, oh, okay. So they leave the doctor's office. He suggests finding a quiet place to cry. Again, whole mood. But also, I don't love that for them. And so they're walking through the hall, which is like a seemingly quiet hall for all the chaos that's going on in the hospital. And Bailey's like, maybe it's just not meant to be. And John tries to talk her down, and he's like, that's what science is for, though. And then that's when he sees Armin's brother walking by, and he's wondering why he's there. And so Balin's like, let's follow him. Or John suggests following him, and Bailey's like, please, anything to get my mind off of all of this. So they follow him to the bathroom. Bailey goes to get Lucy and Selena, like we've already mentioned. And so at the end of the episode, Baylen gets back home, and Bailey's like, I've already made a decision. And she doesn't think she can go down the rabbit hole of IVF. And he understands, and he's like, if you change your mind, I'm with you all the way. But I like how she was very much like, I've made the decision. Like,
Yeah.
yeah, we can talk about it, but like, it's my decision. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Although part of me wonders, like, if they would have, or I mean, I don't, maybe she could, maybe she will change her mind down the line. I
Right.
don't know. But like, I feel like that would be kind of interesting to see just as a different
Way of
road
getting
to,
pregnant.
yeah, to possibly
Yeah.
having children. Because like, I personally have seen it in like a movie before,
Yeah.
but like not on, at least not in any TV show that I have watched.
Yeah. Well, and like even the doctor mentioning, like, it might not work on the first try. Like,
Yeah.
as much as I don't want that to happen, like, we could show a couple trials of that. Like, why not? But I don't know. I'm still kind of in the camp of Baylin doesn't need to have a kid. Like, they both have such demanding jobs. And I kind of feel like that played a part in Bailey's decision too.
That's what I was gonna
Like,
say, yeah.
John running into action, because there were a couple of moments where, especially when they were doing the shootout at the very end, she like looked over while taking care of the nurse, and you could see the worry on her face too, with John standing there and like having his gun drawn, like, and knowing that he had already like had the hearing issue and all of that, like, that I feel was just like it kind of cemented that decision more. And again, it's not like she doesn't have a very physically demanding job too. Like,
Yeah.
I guess with James and Nyla and Lopez, like, yes, they all have physically demanding jobs, and like it takes a lot out of them. But at the same time, it's not like Wesley is a cop and Angela is a cop, or like James is a firefighter and Nyla's a cop. Like, at least one of them has a semi-normal job to where they're not putting their lives in danger.
Yeah.
You could argue for Wesley that he does, because there's been moments, but like for
That's
the
like
most
it's
part he doesn't.
situational
Yeah.
or client based.
Yeah. Whereas like Bailey, she doesn't, well, we haven't really seen her in her fire turnout gear, but like, I mean, any call she's been on, she's pretty much been in the line of fire
Yeah.
or like in some kind of danger. So I
Yeah.
could see it.
Especially since like you can't choose the fires that you go into.
Right,
If you're a firefighter,
right.
like once you get the call, like you're
Yeah.
like, on your way out.
And her being pregnant too, like, I'm sure that it would be a little bit different, and they would like, write her storylines differently, but I
Yeah.
wouldn't want them to change anything just because they're gonna make Bailey pregnant. Like, I
Yeah.
don't know. I'm kind of in the camp that they don't need to have a kid. If they do, maybe it's an option, but I don't even necessarily need that. So, yeah. So that's about it for Baylen. I feel like I've been pulled in many different ways with the storyline since what episode, like four? I don't even know, because there's been so many breaks. So I'm just like, one time we're going no pregnancy, the next time we're going having a kid, the next time we're going to let's adopt, then let's foster. I'm like, what are we doing here? And did we need this? I mean, I guess it was a good stepping stone in their relationship, but I don't know. It was just kind of, it was a lot. So next we'll talk about Lucy and Selena, aka my new favorite girl group, my new
Yeah,
favorite girl duo.
they were like one of my favorite parts of the episode. Like
Yeah.
aside from Bradson's comic moments,
Yeah.
like they were, I don't know, they're just like serotonin. They're sweet.
Yes.
They're
Yeah.
serotonin.
Literally in all of their scenes,
Love
I was
them.
like, this is the breath of fresh air that we need. This is the sunshine that we need. Also, I just had the emoji of like the blushing and the eyes closed for Lucy, like pinned in my brain the entire time. And even
Yeah.
some of Selena too.
Yeah. Selena was like this, like the starry-eyed
Yes.
emoji, just
And
like
Lucy was the
no.
blushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So cute.
So Nolan, obviously, we know, was taking a personal day. So that leaves
Sort of.
Lucy, yeah, sort of. I mean, I don't know. The man should have still gotten compensated for his time because honestly,
Yeah.
and you know what? I hope he did. Granted, it's a personal day, so I'm sure he still got paid for it, but I hope he got like overtime or something because he literally put his life in risk when he walked into that bathroom. I mean,
Sorry, just out of context, just that one sentence sounded so funny. I'm sorry.
that's our TikTok preview. I've
It
decided that is our TikTok preview.
Oh, God.
Oh,
Okay.
that, you know what? That's the state of my brain cells right now.
We're
Like,
okay.
literally, just it's, yeah, I'm hanging on.
Oh.
Great. Now I'm like crying from laughing so hard. It's
Oh,
fine.
all right. We're back.
So I don't even know where I left off.
I'm sorry. Oh, dear.
Lucy is Selena's TO for the day. Her fourth TO, by the way, but arguably one of the best. I don't know. I mean, they've
So
all been
true.
great.
Yeah.
Some people can argue for Nolan on that one. I don't know. Lucy's not sure if she's ready for that yet. She's like, how is that possible? Like, I'm not even qualified. And Gray, that's when we had the sneak peek, and Gray's like, I crown you as TO for the day.
Yeah.
He is the power, apparently, which I don't
Right.
doubt that, but
Yeah.
it was just so funny. So
Yeah. Or like someone made
Lucy.
like the Lion King meme or
Yes.
something like that
Yeah.
parallel, and Melissa retweeted that, and I thought that was
Yeah.
absolutely great.
Yeah. It was so funny. So Lucy meets up with Selena at the shop, and she hopes that Selena is comfortable with this. And she realizes that her being Selena's boss for the day on the eve of her moving in could prove to be challenging. I love how she approached this. I was like, Lucy, please just continue to be more precious. So Selena shares that she thinks Lucy has a wealth of knowledge and she's excited to spend the day absorbing it. And Lucy assures her that she's not going to try to trip her up or make her jump through any hoops, aka no like Tim Tess type of thing.
Or Lucy lessons for
Yeah.
that matter.
And she doesn't see why today can't be about investing in your success. And she says it in her cute Lucy Chen way. And I'm just like, I'm hard eyes at this point. Like, I tweeted last night the gif of the cat with the hard eyes and like kicking its feet. I'm like, that is me. That is me. And I just love this little duo and I need more of it immediately, like all of the time. I kid you not, every single episode, I need a little bit of it. And I really hope that when Selena becomes a P2, like her and Lucy are paired up together, like
Yeah, that'd be
regardless of
fun.
the roommate situation. I think it would be really interesting to see. And so Lucy and Selena are among the other cops taking witness statements when we see a guy entered the waiting room, and he's the Eastern Front's boss, Armin's brother. And so then randomly a woman like enters the lobby from the elevator, and she's got this like look in her eye. John sees her because he like walks around the corner. He always does this, like right before the gunman like pulls out their gun. He's like walking around the corner and just like has that John Nolan face on him.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, like this person's not good. I'm like,
Yeah. And then jump as he's yelling gun. Like
Yeah.
that's what he does. And then down he
That's
goes.
he literally puts himself into danger. Like he that's his hobby in a way. Like, yeah. So this woman like shoots a guy twice, killing him. I'm assuming that that's that Nave. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't quite catch who
Because that
that
happens
was.
before Lucy and Selena question that guy.
Yeah.
And that was the big Russian guy that was killed, I would think. And so the cops jump into action, and Lucy cuffs her. Well, we just hear nothing but ringing from John's point of view. So John gets checked out. He's told he has some acoustic trauma. Bailey rushes to his side, and time will tell if his hearing comes back. I have thoughts, but I'm not going to say them because
Oh.
they're actually cancelable.
Oh God.
I can't say it.
Okay.
I can't. It's hitting silly hours for me right now. So the trauma caused inflammation and they can't assess it until it completely subsides. So this man's just supposed to go walking around with ringing in his ear. He is a
Right?
cop. He can't have that.
No. When I just was like, okay, is this gonna be like another age-related thing where they could just like use that as like a,
Yeah.
excuse for why this is happening? Like, oh, you can't hear, old man. Like, what? Sorry, that's so mean. But I was just like,
It's better than my comment was gonna be.
I didn't know like where the, I thought that's kind of like what they were, I don't know, like implying with that it was just gonna be like a
Yeah.
thing that like it could be chalked up to like an age
Yeah.
thing too, that people could just assume before
Yeah.
asking him like what actually happened for him to have this hearing issue.
Yeah.
So
Yeah. I don't know. It just, I don't know. It was funny.
yeah.
And then Bailey like being right there, and I was like, I can't do this right now. Like
Yeah.
it was too much.
I
And the
mean, I
doctor
did.
was like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it will come back.
Right.
Not know.
Yeah. Well, and
But
then like when he like when the doctor first came over and then he was like, "What?" I thought that was
yeah.
like purely a Nathan thing. Like I thought that was just like it just seemed like so off the cuff, like something
Yeah.
that like added in.
It was funny though, I will admit,
Yeah.
but it was also like, I don't know. I don't know, just it was funny.
Yeah.
So then Lucy and Selena get back to the apartment, and Selena's like, are you sure it's fine, like that I'm staying there? Technically, I'm not paying rent yet until tomorrow. And Lucy's like, it's fine. Your stuff is in boxes. We'll meet the movers tomorrow. Like, no, you're fine. And she's like, there's actually a bath bomb with your name on it. And Selena's like, best roommate ever. I'm crying from tears of happiness right now from them.
Right.
Like, I love them. And then they talk about how they handled the day, and they both think they did a good job with it. And Selena even mentions that Lucy is her fourth TO, and they all do things a little differently. And Lucy tells her that she will too once she graduates, and she just has to take the best of what's offered and make the job her own. I love this.
Yeah.
I do hope that at the end of every workday, though, that they don't talk about work. Like they don't make that a common thing, because I feel like you don't necessarily want to take work home with you. But I would assume that like Lucy and Tim would have a few
Yeah.
times, but not like all the time. So.
Yeah. I just like how they had so much like respect for one another
Yeah.
and just I don't really know how to explain it. It was like they were speaking the same language. They were on the same,
Yeah.
they were in the same mindset. They kind of just vibe really well together. I don't know. And just yeah, it was just like I don't know, just a really just like a healthy friendship. I don't know.
Yeah.
Healthy portrayal of a, female friendship.
Especially for people, for two characters that we have not seen interact as much. Like, we've seen them interact a good amount, but not as much as they did in this episode. And then for them to be moving in and not have interacted a whole lot, at least that we have to assume. Like, I would assume that they would be like running into each other more and everything. But from what we see, I mean, they come across each other a few times in every episode. So, yeah. That's about it for the episode recap. We do have listener thoughts, but we made it through this crazy episode. It got a little silly there at the end, though. But
Yeah.
I don't know. John Nolan just brings out the silly, I guess.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair point.
Do you want to take us through the first listener thought?
Yeah, so Hannah said, so many thoughts, my brain is processing. Dr. London, I knew she was bad and now she's conspiring with Monica. No, ma'am. Love Harpez being on the case. If anyone can bring down Monica, it's them. And Hannah's very intrigued to see where the Mad Dog storyline goes.
Yeah. Just a fan had said, so much is going through my mind. Well, everyone knew about Dr. London being sneaky. Monica's diabolical. Now I'm thinking maybe Tim really was in jail for a bit. I don't know, so much to process. Yeah. I guess Tim being in jail would refer to the military time. I don't know.
Oh, like the Eric behind the scenes pic when he was like in the jail cell or
Oh.
whatever, you know, like may I think maybe, unless I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah.
Possibly. Janelle had said, how does this hospital not have more security cameras?
That's
Which
a very valid question.
it really is. 'Cause like even the gang members like looked up and like used the supposed security camera like shield or whatever, you know, as
Yeah.
like a mirror, and I was like, dang, are they like really that like sneaky? But
Yeah.
yeah, I don't, yeah, how does the hospital not have more security cameras? How
But
does
then
the
again,
hospital,
like, oh, what?
I was just saying, like, how do they not have just like more just protections in general, or like, you know,
Yeah.
precautions? I mean, they have the code and all that, and like, you know, people know what to do with all the codes being called, but like, goodness, I don't know. Because, like, you know, on other medical shows, you know, they got like securities there and like, you know, one
Yeah.
second flat for things getting out of hand. So I don't know.
Well, and even like they kept saying we need more backup, and then we just never even saw that. Like, I don't know. Seems kind of weird to me. Corinna said it was just mind blowing. Didn't see any of that coming. That ending with Kojo and Chenford and the Mad Dog. The last two episodes are going to be wild. They really are. I'm here for it, but also I don't want it to end.
Lydia said, "Aw, Kojo, sweet that we got to see him again. What a tender but sad moment. I liked how Lucy and Selena were so supportive of each other, showing how training a rookie could also go and how Lucy would do it. And Dr. London is now revealed as the bad guy, I'm assuming, is what they mean. Lydia's excited to see where that goes. I mean, honestly, same, because like, I mean, if people like, I, because I have seen Danielle do, like, starting as like an innocent character and then like flipping a switch and like goes all dark and villainous. So like, I don't know. I'm kind of excited if she's gonna do that again. That'd be cool to see. So.
And I feel like we've seen a lot of the big bad characters be like criminals that they've taken off the street or whatever. So it's interesting to see someone who was tied to the LAPD as like a quote unquote nice person, good person. How are they flipping? Were they always bad? Like, did they always have this kind of motive behind them? So, yeah. Newsboys 22 said this was hands down the best episode of the season. I was on the edge of my seat the whole time. And I already didn't have good feelings about Blair, and last night's episode confirmed it. 2 seconds in, she sketched me out. And the Kojo birthday scene had me sobbing. Also, I feel bad for Tim. He finally felt like he could open up to someone and trust someone with his personal feelings. And then she turns out to be a bad person. I just hope that this does not hinder his motivation to get emotionally and mentally better as a person. That. That.
That's a good
Because
way
I
to sum
could
up.
see him like reverting back.
Oh, totally.
But we got the Chenford hug next week. And someone was pointing out like something that Lucy says. And so I hope that she kind of mentions the Mad Dog stuff, and then he kind of is like, something's up with Blair. I don't know. We'll see.
Reader Book 1981 said, really liked that they are setting up a good storyline for the last two episodes. I think I'm starting to put the pieces together. Also, gestures speak louder than words, and that scene with Kojo was chef's kiss.
Really was.
I hope Kojo got all the dog treats
Yeah.
after that.
Yeah.
All the things, all the salmon and eggs he could ever want.
Francesca said, I'm so confused about who the big bad is, but I have a feeling it runs pretty deep. My theory is Mad Dog may not have been referring to Blair when he said, she knows all my secrets. Blair is clearly a player, but someone mentioned Pine as a possibility. I think that the immediate danger may be done by episode 10, but the full scale of the mole might not be resolved. Also, do we think Elijah sent the hitman to kill Monica? Lot to unpack here. First of all, who is Pine? Because I feel like I don't remember that person being
Oh,
mentioned.
God.
Is it someone from Metro?
Oh, do they mean, well,
I feel like
did
I
they
don't
mean
remember
Prim?
Pine.
Well, that wouldn't really make sense though, right? Not Prim. I don't know. Oh, dang. Are we missing who Pine is? I don't
I
know.
don't think it's Prem
No.
because, yeah,
Or, yeah,
no.
that wouldn't make sense. I don't know. Someone mentioned Pine as a possibility.
I don't remember a Pine.
I mean, definitely not in this episode. I don't. Am I like completely just forgetting? Okay, if someone knows, please like fill in the blank for us, because I don't.
Yeah.
I am just drawing a complete blank.
Yeah. And then do we think Elijah sent the hitman to kill Monica? Honestly, that crossed my mind.
I kind of forgot that Elijah and Monica like were connected.
Yeah.
Oh my
And they
goodness.
still kind of are.
Technically speaking, yes. Oh goodness, yeah.
I could see it. I mean, I don't know who else it would be. Unless that's kind of a setup for season seven.
Yeah. Well,
I
like
don't
that's the
know.
thing too, is like obviously they filmed all of this before, like knowing the season seven,
Yeah.
pickup. So it's like, I don't know if that'd play into it, of like how they wrap it up or a lack of conclusion.
I wonder if they're going to leave us on a cliffhanger. Like, because, like you said, they filmed this before they knew about season seven. So, like, I wonder if they're going to leave us on a cliffhanger thinking, oh, we'll get season seven, or no cliffhanger in case we don't get the season seven. I don't know.
Yeah.
I want to
Or
say
maybe.
no cliffhanger because last season finale we did. And I wonder if there's a pattern like there is with One Chicago. I
Yeah.
don't know. I'd have to go back and figure it out, but.
Yeah. Well, then it's like, I don't know if like the cliffhanger, like if there were to be one, would it be like at the end of, this like 609, like part one, and then like have that be a cliffhanger and then come back obviously next
There
week.
could be two cliffhangers,
Part two,
one at
or
the end of
yeah, there could be.
609 and then 610, which
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do that. I think I might only be okay with one.
Yeah. I don't know. 'Cause like, have they done a two-part season finale
I don't think
on the Rookie
so.
before? Am I just being, if I don't remember, I don't know how I would forget that,
I
but
think just the penultimate has kind of
yeah.
like led into it, but it hasn't been like a two-part season finale.
Yeah.
All I can say is thank God that we're getting season seven
Yeah,
because I'm like, I just love this show more and more.
right.
So,
Yeah.
yeah.
And last but not least for listener thoughts, Mandy said, I knew that doctor could not be trusted, and this episode confirmed it. It was so fast-paced, yet nothing felt out of place. The way everything came together at the hospital and the dots that connected were perfect. The two-part season finale is going to be nail-biting.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And that kind of wraps up the episode. There was a lot. There was a lot. So you can find us on Twitter at the Shop Talk Pod underscore or email us at shoptalktherookiepodcast@gmail.com with all of your thoughts. You can find us individually on Twitter too. I'm at jstarkade04.
And I'm at Carrie Hyman.
And we're on TikTok as well at the Shop Talk Podcast underscore. So make sure you follow us there too. There hasn't been much going on that channel. So I'm trying, but yeah. But yeah, on Twitter, we're basically like we're unhinged over there. And by we,
Oh,
I
for
mean Carrie, because she just
sure.
like takes all the stuff and just goes. But then
Listen,
like
I just like didn't even see the episode yet, and I was already making parallels and blaming Twitter. Like I was like lurking and like seeing all the things, and I was like, oh man, I know what picture I'm gonna choose from this season to make a parallel for. But yeah.
Well, I
Anyways.
literally texted you and I was like, can I send you one spoiler? That's it. Just one. Like, because I need to share this. And I was like, she's gonna see it anyway. But I just, because I don't necessarily like spoilers for episodes that I'm missing. like new ones. So I was like, I'm gonna ask her, but and then I was like, okay, I swear I'm done. And then I was like, wait, but wait, here we go. Here we go. Yeah. But I did only
And
send you one spoiler, so.
that's true. And I mean, like, listen, I know we're not on TikTok like a lot recently, but Eric and Melissa kind of got the whole TikTok thing covered because you got Mickey is on there too, Alyssa for crying out loud. Like, I mean, you know.
Honestly, they made up for the rookie account not being on Twitter.
Oh, so true. Yeah,
Yeah.
just about.
But
Although
if
I
TikTok goes away,
Oh
we
God,
need
yeah.
something.
Yeah, because I miss the gifts that the rookie account would create specifically for their Twitter page. Those are
Well, and
fun.
they just like would share everything that's like going on Instagram, like share it to Twitter too. Like it was just nice. It's nice to have multiple sources of social media to get the content from. As if I don't consume enough of it already, it's fine. But like even Alyssa's takeover on Instagram that happened yesterday, we never talked about that, but that was great. And
Yes,
I
that was
don't know why I
fantastic.
didn't put two and two together that it was for last night's episode, but I didn't until I literally saw the scenes and the clothing, and I was like, oh yeah,
Yeah, I
okay.
mean, it took me a second, but then when I saw Makia in the one, like, you know, behind the scenes when they were filming, I was like, yeah, no, that has to be the same.
But also Alyssa is a whole mood because she was like, I always have three drinks on me, at least three.
And then
And
the
then
coffee
like,
came and she was like, oh, I'm just kidding, four. And I was like, go off, queen, it's fine.
And then Melissa like bringing her wine. I was like, oh, I just love this
Let
cast
us have
so much.
wine. Let us have
I love this. I
wine.
love this cast so much. Like I just, we have gotten so blessed and fed with this behind the scenes social media content this season. Like, truly, the cast is like, here, we're giving all of this to you. But we also have a T Public store for merch. Going back to our outro, because we got to wrap this up at some point. Don't forget that we have a T Public store for merch. There's currently a sale going on. You can get $16 t-shirts. I may have more ideas floating around in my head. We'll see. But yeah, we'll be back next week covering 609 of The Rookie, the first part of the season finale, where we all just might collectively lose our minds. So yeah. Until then, have a great week, everyone. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Go get 'em, boo.